IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
We're only human after all. Don't put the blame on me. What? We take no responsibility. There's, you know, it goes from I was just following orders to I'm only human. Don't put the blame on me. Of course we put the blame on you. We actually are responsible for everything that we do. Isn't that right? Mervyn Abrams, Program Coordinator at Peter Maritzburg Economic and Justice Dignity. Aren't we responsible for our own actions?
We are really. And I mean, a lot of the crises that we are seeing are as a result of human choices.
Absolutely.
There
man-made.
Is no such thing as an inanimate choice that is presenting exactly. us with these difficulties.
What do they say? What is that song? I'm only human after all. Don't put the blame on me. What? What a load of nonsense. Either way, look, you know, I really didn't invite you to discuss music choices, but I did want to ask you about the impact that the Russia-Ukraine war could potentially have on South Africa and how we deal with it. We were talking yesterday on the show about the cost of cooking oil, for example, that is going to go very high. And listeners were saying, but don't we grow our own sunflowers here in South Africa? Can't we make our own oil? Like, what is going on? Why should that impact? Can you give us a sense of what all this means?
So Howard, good morning, and good morning to all your listeners. Yes, so South Africa does grow sunflower. We just have to take a drive through the Free State in December to see it. However, it's not sufficient for the South African economy. So we also, in addition to growing our own, we import. But there is a problem associated with the global economic is that, you know, when we import anything, then even our local prices tend to trend at the level of import prices, those import parity. So, for instance, if we grow most of our maize here, but the global price of maize increase, and it's likely that we will see the effect of that increase here in South Africa, even though it was grown in South Africa, because that's the way the sales process works. Now, we can argue whether it should or shouldn't, but that's the way it is. So we don't grow enough sunflower, so we do import it. We also do not grow enough wheat. In fact, our wheat production is going down and down, and that has to do with climate. It's getting too warm. So we are importing more and more of our wheat from areas like the Ukraine or Russia. So we are likely to feel the impact, particularly across those two commodities or foods. And so sunflower oil, margarine, and bread are some of the things that we are most likely to see a major impact of. And then, of course, you know, other things like pasta, which is also wheat-based, flour, and things like that. But when we just, Howard, when we just look at sunflower, at cooking oil, for instance, So without the Russia-Ukraine conflict, year on year, a 5-liter cooking oil, as we track it, had increased by 35%. So from 108.53 rand for 5 liters in February last year to 146.29 rand in February this year. And yesterday I was in some stores because there was some panic buying of cooking oil around Durban, and I saw 5 liters of cooking oil going for about 178. So it is on the uphill. And then, of course, margarine has increased by 17% year on year. Bread has increased by about 3% year on year. Flour only by 1%, but we're likely to see increases as we go along in these kinds of food.
So a lot of this started happening even before Russia-Ukraine.
Yes, so food prices have been on the incline well before this crisis. The only thing that this crisis is going to do is going to push it up steeper. But food price increases has been with us for the last 5, 6, 7 years. And it's already been called out by the UN. There was a big speech in the UN yesterday, precisely around the issue of food prices. Because the Food and Agricultural Organization that is measuring food prices globally are saying that the global index is the highest it has ever been. So there are other issues like COVID, like logistical constraints, climate change is impacting, but also the way in which we do our agriculture. So how would my, or from Peter Maritzburg Economic Justice and Dignity perspective, is that we actually, yes, we have to deal with this crisis, but we have to ask ourselves, how do we build resilience in the South African economy and in the household in order to meet these shocks? Because it's always going to be shocks. It's going to be either a war in the Middle East or somewhere, and the fuel prices are going to go massively high, or we're going to talk about a climate crisis, or we're going to talk about another pandemic. So can we begin to look at how do we build resilience? And that really for us is the main issue that confronts us at the moment. And if you ask me how, one of our things is that you see the price of fuel is also impacting here, and it impacts in two ways. Firstly, of course, with fuel, the transport cost increases, which leaves less money in the pocket. But also fuel is a major input cost into the production, so it also increases the price of the food. So there's less money for food while food is becoming more expensive. And therein lies the affordability crisis and the potential hunger crisis. So can we begin to move our logistics from road to rail, for instance? And in that way, we can, you know, at least limit our exposure to massive fuel price increases, which impact on other prices. That's one area. The second area is we need to get into a global best practice now. And that is that we have to produce the food closer to the table where it's eaten, so that also we lessen our exposure to some of these kind of fuel price increases. And then for households is we have, the only way is massive more employment and decent wages. Savings are the only way in which households can deal effectively with some of these shocks, which we are going to see more and more of as we continue.
So the answer, obviously, from what you're saying, is to reduce the dependency on transport as much as possible. In other words, make sure that food is produced closer to the consumer.
Yes, exactly. And, of course, you can't produce everything close to the consumer because it's also dependent on climate and soil type and so on. And where it does have to, you could use rail rather than road, because then you use electricity rather than fuel. Of course, it presumes that Eskom can get it.
Yes, I know. Just thinking that.
You know, but it's also, I mean, last year in July was the unrest around the country. We saw it again. I mean, it is so well known that with the N3 connecting KZN to Gauteng, all you have to do is go to Mooi River, cut off that Mooi River toll, and then food supply can't move. So it's really essential that we begin to think of rail as a better way of transport rather than road.
From every aspect. From every aspect. The other thing is that I see that there is some talk about the fuel levy being recalculated. Do you think that's realistic?
Yes, so that will, because currently almost, I mean, I'm not sure of the exact figure, but it's probably in the region of between 30 and 40% of what we pay for fuel goes into tax. Now, if that gets lowered, of course, then it would make fuel less expensive at the pump. But Howard, you must also remember that tax on the fuel goes to the fiscus. And it is therefore then also used for other parts of government budget. So yes, it will make in the short term something cheaper, fuel cheaper, but in the long term, we will lose that money to the fiscus. So we have to rethink another way and not just do crisis management as we always do it now.
Indeed. It is 8:43. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. That was Mervyn Abrams, Program Coordinator, Peter Maritzburg, Economic Justice and Dignity, talking to us about the impact of the Russia-Ukraine war, as well as other factors on the price of food in South Africa.